Last case this morning is Treehouse Avatar v. Valve Corporation, 2022-1171. Mr. Graham.
Yes, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The District Court erred and abused its discretion when it struck the expert report of Stacey Friedman and then erred in granting summary judgment of non-infringement as a result. This Court, so far as we can tell, has addressed the question of expert reports and consistency with the claim construction on three occasions. And the touchstone seems to be inconsistency. So in Cordes, where the claim construction required undulating, requires an up and a down, a U-shape was inconsistent. And in Frank's casing, the same thing. It was directly contrary to the claim instruction. And the same thing happened
here,
in...
Here the District Court didn't say that plain and ordinary meaning was necessarily contrary to the agreed upon construction, but that they are different, right? Isn't that what the District Court said?
I think that's the point, Your Honor, that inconsistency is something more than different. Plain and ordinary meaning obviously is not the same literal wording of the claim construction. It's different word choices.
I'm not sure that's right. I mean, only because you can look at our cases and maybe that's what our cases are referring to, but I don't know if you can extrapolate from our cases to say that we're going to reverse the district court for it just being different. I think the biggest question is whether your expert addressed the limitations of the claims, including the claim construction agreed upon by the parties.
I would fully agree with that, Your Honor, and I think that's our point in briefing this and in looking at the precedent. I believe that in each of those three prior cases where this court has affirmed the striking of an expert report, you could see that the expert applied it in a way that was not merely different in word choice, but which changed the result and which was directly contrary, like strictly at odds with the claim construction to produce that different result. And I believe we don't have that here. What we have is the articulation of plain and ordinary meaning, but then following that initial reference, which was mistaken, the application of the claims by describing what the accused system does, and doing so in a way that is consistent with what the claim required.
And I think what I get from your brief, I think, is that the expert satisfied these requirements of the claim in a different way, or address them in a different way. But is that really, well, I guess I'm trying to get at, when I'm looking at an abuse of discretion standard, should I require the district court to hunt and peck through your expert's report and try and figure out and gather whether he in fact, you know, addressed, for example, whether there's a site program?
No, I wouldn't think that would be a task that we should thrust upon the district judge, but I would submit respectfully that we didn't do that either. In the response to the motion to strike, we went through each of the four subparts as we broke down the claim construction and pointed specifically to the catalog of where the expert report addressed each one of those so that the district court judge could specifically see how it was addressed in the report in every possible way. So in this case, that is the crux of the issue. In this case, the expert, Mr. Friedman, evaluated each of what we consider to be the four aspects of the claim construction. He pointed to network locations in great detail with IP addresses and showing exactly where Valve operated network locations. He never identified any one of those as being a site program or a network location that was a user device. And there's no argument by Valve that any of those are user devices because they're not.
But that can't be the answer. The answer can't be, well, it's a technicality. It doesn't matter. Had we put it in, we would have been able to show it. He didn't not say. I mean, my question is this. Where do you expressly say the accused device has the requirements of the claim construction agreed upon by the parties?
I think the problem, Your Honor, is word choices and whether the word choices that were used align with the word choice of the construction, even though in some cases there are some differences. And I would submit that this is the sort of thing that happens in the trenches of patent litigation all the time, but in a different way. What we would typically see would be an expert who would mention the court's claim construction and then embark on 100 pages of description about what the accused system does, using all manner of different language that's not verbatim, because after all, it's 100 pages of explanation. And so there's always a difference. We speak in language, we use prose, we describe what's going on, and it's almost always, 99% of that is in word choices that are different from what the actual literal claim construction is.
Do you want to keep in generalities like this, or do you want to walk through for us what you think, where you think in the expert report each of those limitations is satisfied and discussed?
I would be happy to point those out and would submit that we did so in the briefing as well.
It's in your brief. Okay. I mean, it's going to come down to that, right? Isn't it? The question of whether you've satisfied, whether you've demonstrated that there's an abuse of discretion will largely come down to, you know, whether the court erred in making a determination that you hadn't, in fact, done that.
Right. I would submit, Your Honor, that at Appendix 821, that's the location where we were addressing the response to the motion to strike. And that's where we articulated to the district court each of the subparts of the claim limitation. And so starting in the middle of 821, line 6, we
Are
say...
You're reading us your brief? From below?
Or? No, I'm sorry, Your Honor. I thought I was getting at your question. How you were asked, I believe, for me to point to specifically where the expert addressed each of the subparts.
Well, why would you not look to the expert report to do that?
I can get there in a lot of ways.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I thought the expert report was at page... I thought that it started at page A773. And so why wouldn't you point to that as opposed to your briefing? Am I missing something?
No, I don't think so, Your Honor. I envisioned that I could come at this question a few different ways. You began the question, I thought, with, is it incumbent upon the district judge to figure it out? And I thought I was answering how we pointed it out for him. In the brief here is where we pointed it out to the district judge, including with citations to the expert report.
I understand your answer to that question. And now I would say I'd be more interested in knowing why you think this expert report addresses the elements that were in the agreed upon construction.
Why do I think so? It ends up being voluminous because there's quite a lot in the expert report.
Okay.
And to that point, we showed each one of those four separate subparts, the network location, IP addresses, and so forth, other than user devices. None of them were that. We addressed all manner of programs that the servers were operating in order to do so, and we explained, Mr. Friedman explained, how there was a presentation to the user interface that was resulting from that, pointing to the various things that appear on the user interface that are different and that wouldn't have occurred without that interaction with the server. And so each one of those is articulated both in the briefing, if we pointed out to the district court, and then cited in turn to all the various locations voluminously in the expert report itself. And so it's our view that having gone through each subpart of it, Mr. Friedman addressed every single part of it, and there was no consistency with it. We would also submit that the opinion wouldn't change. He mentioned that in his own supplement, saying, hey, I left it out, but if I put it in, it wouldn't change because I addressed all of those subparts. The infringement opinion and position also would not change.
What is your best site for where you think he addressed operating under control of a site program?
So he had addresses that in a variety of places that... At Appendix 824, there's a listing of where he does that, pointing to his report at paragraphs 42, 48, 43, 50, 52, 51 to 62, 56. He addresses the various servers, how they manage the game, how they operate the Steam platform. He also, through
that... Is there like a particular sentence that I should look at in the expert report? I mean, do you want to point point to a particular one of those that you think is, what is your strongest evidence?
The strongest argument is, I believe, in the test that he performed. And you could see the dual images of the two different screens where he played offline and online. And he logged in online and he acquired character attributes. And then he closed down and he logged in with a different computer. And he was able to download and obtain those same previously accessed character attributes, thereby demonstrating that it was operating under control of the server to give him permission to display those same ones. He showed in the report the same way that there were character attributes that were already owned and others that were available and the pricing information that could only have come from the server. And for its part, Valve's expert, Dr. Zaida, says that functionality of that sort is also unavailable offline, which shows that the site programs are controlling and providing that information only when you are online to do it.
We can save the rest of your time for you.
Sure, Your Honor, I would. I would submit, lastly, though, that the summary judgment was also erroneously granted. The summary judgment decision itself rested solely on the belief that the online and offline systems were the same, the screen displays were the same. That was based on a faulty reading of Dr. Zaida's expert report saying that they were essentially identical. But Dr. Zaida never did a true offline test. He did it online first, then pulled the plug, and the online initial part of the test had already downloaded information and affected the display. That test in itself, in his admission that some things would be different, at least by itself created an issue of fact. I would submit that in striking Mr. Friedman's expert report, what the district court also did largely was strike factual descriptions of the system. You know, experts do a variety of things. In this case, often they'll have an ultimate conclusion. It infringes, it doesn't infringe. It meets this limitation, it doesn't meet this limitation. But they'll also simply verbalize what they see the accused system doing. That should be admissible and let the jury decide whether the limitations are satisfied or not. And we believe that there was enough there to create an issue of fact, and the summary judgment was erroneously granted.
Thank you. Mr. Barcelo, have I pronounced your name correctly?
It's Barcelo, and good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Reynaldo Barcelo. I represent Appley Valve Corporation, and as a member of a bar, I'll just say I'm very happy to be here before the court again in person. The court in its questions got right to the heart of the matter. What does the appeal come down to? It does not come down to what Mr. Friedman, Treehouse's expert, put in his report. It comes down to proper procedure and application of the standards of review. There's a highly deferential abuse of discretion standard, and most of what Treehouse's counsel just argued under this brief are just re-arguing the facts that it presented before the district court on the motion to strike. There's one arbiter of all the facts.
Hypothetically, though,
yes, ma'am.
Let me ask you a question. Hypothetically, if I did think that there was no difference between the plain and ordinary meaning and the claim construction the parties agreed upon, I could say that there was a legal error in the court's analysis, right? Which would then be an abuse of discretion. I mean, I understand it is certainly reviewed for an abuse of discretion, but, you know, if there's a legal error, that's an abuse of discretion. Do you agree with that hypothetical?
I do agree with that. It doesn't apply in this case at all, and we can walk through why not. And that may be basically the touchstone, but if Your Honor is in this court, if that doesn't hold true, then we're done, basically, because of the highly deferential standard of the review. And if we look at the judge's order on the motion to strike, and it really boils down to this, so I'm going to be looking at it and citing from it. It's at appendix page 21. On its face, it demonstrates how it's not illogical, it's not implausible, it's not without support. The district court goes through at appendix 21, and he says that there were at least several reasons why the arguments about the claim construction being the same are wrong. At appendix page 21, line 15, that's internal pagination page 3, the defendant argues that the ordinary meaning omits several requirements, and those are the three sub-requirements that Your Honor asked Treehouse's counsel about. The ordinary meaning construction omits three of the essential requirements. They're listed there. To present a character, object, or scene was one of them. The second one, to be other than a user device. And then whether the network side excludes user devices. That's not illogical. That's not implausible. That's not without support. The support is stated right there in the order itself. And then secondly, for a little further down, the court, it's here, it's quoting from the defendant, but in the very next paragraph, it says that the court agrees with all of this. That's at page 4, line 6 of the order, just flipping the page over, that Treehouse's counsel's argument that there's redundancy when you compare the plain and ordinary meaning that Treehouse's expert admittedly applied with the agreed construction, that that doesn't apply, that basically rejecting that argument, and the district court in its discretionary role here was entitled to conclude that it's correct. We can analyze it through the Cordes case, all the claim construction jurisprudence of this court. It's perfectly logical, perfectly plausible, and well supported. And therefore, under the red lightning standard of the Ninth Circuit that applies here, we're basically done at that point, because what Treehouse's counsel is doing is just re-arguing the facts of whether what its expert said was applying the construction or not. The district court looked at that and concluded it did not.
Can I ask you a different question? I mean, another way that I've been thinking about this was, did the expert nonetheless address these three requirements in the agreed upon construction? And for example, they argue that the expert did address, for example, the presenting to the user portion of the claim construction, because there's an element in Claim 21 that talks about displaying the character, I think, to the user. What is your response to that? Is your response either that all three of them have to be satisfied and they're not, or is your response something more like that's not the right way to look at it? What is your thought?
The expert, Treehouse's expert, opinions would stand if they did address the correct claim construction, regardless of which words were used. But that's not what happened here. We did the exercise that Your Honor is contemplating. We went through every single paragraph that was cited by in the incorporation by reference in the opposition, and it's not there. And we our brief goes through
which
it.
Which one is, what is it?
The site program. We focus on the site program. That's the easiest to see, but we did all three. It would have bloated our brief if we covered all of them. Just look at the site program. It's not there. He doesn't even use the word. On the presenting, Treehouse's counsel talks about whether things are managing other things, whether things are controlling other things. That's not presenting. Valve's expert was unequivocal in his opinion at paragraph 74 of his report. I can cite you the page in the appendix where he said there are no character-enabled network sites. Any display that's happening is being done by the user's local computer. And nothing, no presentation is happening from being performed by any Valve server. That was unequivocal. And actually, on that point, let me just say, we can't even get off the starting gate on that argument, because the cases are legion, saying you can't raise a new argument on appeal. That's true in the Ninth Circuit, as well as in this circuit, or any appellate circuit in this country. And that's what Treehouse's counsel is doing. They have a short 18-line opposition to the summary judgment motion. All they cite is their experts' opinions, most of which were stricken. Nothing about what our experts said on offline, online mode, which we can defend, and it's perfectly fine. But they don't even get there because they didn't argue it to the district court, and we did. They resort to saying that Val didn't argue about online, offline mode, but that's not false. That's false. Like on page 926 of our motion on summary judgment, there's extensive citations at page 3 in the internal pagination of that motion, lines 5 through 6. We're talking about online, offline mode, citations to Dr. Zaida, including the citation to paragraph 75 where he says there's no character-enabled network site. A few lines down, appendix page 926, lines 9 through 11, offline, online mode. It's all there. They were on notice about this issue. They did not cite any evidence about Dr. Zaida. They didn't argue it. And now they're just presenting it on appeal. That's Appellate Law 101, you don't get to argue things that you didn't argue below. If you want a citation, I can tell you about the Hylete versus Hybrid Athletics case from a couple years ago from this court. We will not entertain arguments not presented to the lower tribunal. And so what's happening here is that Treehouse is giving short shrift to a key issue that basically greatly affects the outcome. The standard of review on the motion to strike is highly deferential. There's one arbiter of all the facts, all the documents, all the evidence relating to the motion to strike and whether their experts' opinions were consistent with the claim construction or not, and that was the district court. And he did so, and he ruled in favor of Valve on that, and under the highly deferential standard, of course, any judge of this court is perfectly capable of redoing that analysis, but that's not what the standard is. The standard is that the district court perform a logical, plausible, and well-supported analysis, and he did.
I hear you, but I would just interject again that if there were, I'm not saying there is, a legal error or a clearly erroneous finding of fact, that would be an abuse of discretion.
Right, but then we have to scratch our heads about that and say, well, how would that take place? It would have to be misapplying the rule that the district court had to apply, and that would be the Cordes case and its progeny, which clearly said.
Federal rules of evidence, right?
Yeah, the rules of evidence, which
federal rules of civil procedure.
The district court is the master of the courtroom and all the evidence in there, and that's a discretionary world. So everyone agrees that the correct legal rule was employed from the Cordes case. Their agreement on this point, just to be very clear about that. I believe it's on, just a second, where's Cordes? In the blue brief, the appellant's opening brief at page 23, where they cite Cordes, they agree that claim construction opinions that are contrary to the agreement, so basically the construction that applies, have to be disregarded. So there's no path to reversal based on using the incorrect legal rule, and there's no path to reversal based on arguing about the claim construction, because in their reply brief at page 3, they finally agreed that that was the correct construction in all its glory, with all the different parts about it from the PTAB about you certified the site program and presenting. So there really can be no argument that the district court got it wrong on the legal side or on the factual side.
Counselor, are there any portions of the Treehouse expert report that address online mode play or the purchase of character attributes like the helmet and the lance and things?
I believe Treehouse's expert talks about purchases and purchases not being available in offline mode. I think that's what Your Honor must be referring to. Purchases are not a claim function. The patent doesn't use the word purchase once in connection with any of the character attributes. That's not part of what's being accused. What we're talking about are the actual, you know, the guy, your guy that you're playing with, whether it's the Dragon Knight or somebody else, those are the characters, and those are the presentations that the construction of character-enabled network site focuses on, and there's zero evidence that those presentations are being performed by any Valve server. And so where we are is once the district, their experts' opinions are stricken, they're left with either arguing about some unstricken portion of the report that doesn't use even the right words from the claim, especially site program, or talking about something that our expert said, which again is a new argument on appeal, and even if you look at it, there's no there. So with all due respect, we believe that there are ample grounds for affirmance, lots of off-ramps that this court can take because we went down the path every single leaf of this and argued it in our briefs, but there's no need to do that. You can basically use an off-ramp at the beginning of this whole exercise. And if there are no further questions, we'll just rest on our briefs.
Thank you, Mr. Bartholo. Mr. Graham has 2.5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. If I may, just a few points. The Valve started with a comment about the order on summary judgment and referring to differences the district court found at appendix page 21 between Mr. Friedman's construction and the claim construction that the parties agreed to and the court adopted. At that part, line 15, it's starting with the court's account of Valve's argument. He's reciting the argument, and therein he's simply looking at difference of word choices. He's not looking at inconsistencies. It's simply reflecting the mere fact that plain to ordinary meaning doesn't have those several different subparts. Second point, if I may, the issue about a new argument on appeal,
I appreciate counsel's point that referring to a citation of the appendix where there was something about online and offline, but that's just background. There was no argument being advanced there. If you look at Appendix 932, you see what Valve's argument was on summary judgment on this one point that is that the district court rested on. And there is no argument there about online, offline. It starts at the top of 932 and it ends on the first line of 933. That is the entirety of the argument, which basically says, once you strike Mr. Friedman, you have to look at Dr. Zaida, and that's all there is. No articulation of that, and there's no new argument being made on appeal. And then lastly, if I may, the issue of the purchases. Now, Mr. Friedman, in his report, starting at Appendix 1087, goes on at length about how you make the purchase and how you interact with the server to do it, and he's proving that all of this happens at the server level and how it presents it to the display and how you have it, and it shows you all the things that happen every step along the way. Now, Val brushes that aside as saying, hey, that's not claimed, but he misses the point. The point is that is the user computer accessing Valve's network sites to see character attributes and, yes, purchase them, but also the server presents them on the display and tells you you've acquired them. And thereafter, after you've purchased them, he continues on in his report to explain how if you leave your computer, go to an entirely different computer, log in, the server will give you and show you on your display those same things that you just purchased. So he's showing how this very CE network site limitation is satisfied there. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you to both counsel. The case is submitted. That concludes today's arguments.